Life Talk Radio presents Health and Longevity, the program dedicated to bringing you cutting-edge information and interviews that can change your life. On each edition, nutritionist, registered dietitian, and board-certified anti-aging health practitioner, Dr. John Westerdahl, will show you how to achieve a longer, healthier life using the latest breakthroughs in nutrition, wellness, and lifestyle medicine. And now, here's your host, Dr. John Westerdahl.
Welcome to Health and Longevity. I'm Dr. John Westerdahl. On today's program, I will talk about the power of fitness, food, and faith in health and longevity. But before we get into today's exciting topic, let's hear the latest research and news affecting our health and longevity today.
Dr. Westerdahl presents the Health and Longevity News and Research Update, bringing you the most pertinent and important information about your health and longevity.
Well, here's a study that shows that soy supplements can cool hot flashes. Taking soy to relieve hot flashes has received mixed reviews over the years, but now researchers who took a look at 19 published studies find that soy supplements may help at least over time. Soy has been touted as an alternative treatment to hormone replacement therapy after HRT was linked to an increased risk of breast cancer. For many women with symptoms and especially with concerns about hormone replacement therapy, trying soy for 6 to 8 weeks to see if it relieves their symptoms could be the first line of treatment, according to Melissa Melby, PhD, a professor of medical anthropology at the University of Delaware. The study is published in Menopause, the Journal of the North American Menopause Society. Although all studies looked at soy supplements, Melby says that getting soy from food is a better bet. What this study shows is that ingesting soy isoflavones will help you, according to Dr. Melby, and she personally thinks that foods containing soy are better. All the studies compared the soy to placebo. More than 1,200 women were in the studies, which included the U.S. and 9 other countries. These studies continued for 6 weeks up to a year and included different amounts of soy supplements. The researchers pooled the results of the individual studies to come up with their findings. Soy supplements with higher amounts of the isoflavone genistein were more than twice as good at reducing hot flash frequency than those with low amounts, Melby found. If you prefer to get your soy from food, Melby suggests 2 servings of soy foods per day. That is roughly equal to 2 glasses of soy milk, 7 ounces of tofu, or 1/2 cup of edamame. Well, here's another study that shows that processed meat is linked to diabetes in Native Americans. Processed meat consumption increases Native Americans' risk of diabetes, according to a new study in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. Researchers followed more than 2,000 Native Americans living in the southwestern United States, and all were free from diabetes at the beginning of the study, but those who ate processed meat, such as sausage or bacon, were more likely to develop diabetes over a 5-year period. The association was particularly strong among those who ate the popular processed meat, Spam. 50% of Native Americans develop diabetes by age 55. Many have limited access to healthful foods and may depend on the USDA Commodity Food Program, which ironically includes processed meats. Well, there's more research to show that exercise benefits breast cancer patients. Exercising may not be the top of the to-do list for most women undergoing treatment for breast cancer, but it probably should be, according to this new study. The new research from the University of Miami finds that regular exercise can reduce depression, lessen fatigue, and improve general quality of life during treatment when combined with group-based behavioral therapy to reduce stress. The research is not the first to show that physical activity helps breast cancer patients, but it is among the first to show that exercise enhances the benefits of other stress management efforts. We'll be right back after this short break.
Would you like to live a happier, healthier, and longer fulfilled life? Then visit us at healthandlongevityradio.com. That's one word, healthandlongevityradio.com. There you'll find valuable information and resources that can help you achieve optimal health and give you the secrets to longevity. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com. It could change your life.
Welcome back to Health and Longevity. Do you have questions about nutrition, health, or longevity? This is your chance to have them answered. On each program, Dr. Westerdahl will choose a key question from our listening audience and respond to it on the air. Due to the high volume of emails, Dr. Westerdahl cannot personally answer each question on our broadcast. If you would like to submit a question, please go to our website, healthandlongevityradio.com. Once there, you will see a button to submit your questions. And now, the question of the day.
And our question today is, I recently heard that eating less results in a longer life. Is that true? Well, we've long known that most laboratory animals kept on a low-calorie diet live longer and enjoy better health than those allowed to eat more food. Now, this method of extending longevity is called caloric restriction or undernutrition, and there are studies that have been published that have found that switching to a low-calorie diet in middle age keeps fruit flies alive longer. Now, we don't know yet whether the same holds true for humans, but the study suggests that it may never be too late to take the action to improve your health. Conducted by researchers at University College London, the study found that restricting the diets of fruit flies beginning at 2 to 3 weeks into their lives, now that's middle age for a common fruit fly, that actually doubled their lifespan to 90 days. And it didn't matter whether caloric restriction was begun in infancy or middle age. Many life extension researchers believe that caloric restriction would offer similar benefits to humans. Studies on monkeys are now in progress. Apparently, caloric restriction impacts hormonal systems that regulate both appetite and aging. Caloric restriction may allow for a normal lifespan, meaning one that hasn't been shortened by overeating. Researchers may possibly find a way for producing the same end results with some interventions that allows people to continue to eat normally. Caloric restriction is a hot topic in aging research today, and many investigators are currently working on it. So watch for more research coming our way on the topic of caloric restriction and longevity.
And now, Health and Longevity's special feature, where Dr. Westerdahl discusses vital topics important to your health and longevity.
Today, I would like to talk about the power of fitness, food, and faith in health and longevity. And you know, today there's a lot of questions about the cost of our healthcare system. It's hard to believe, but we have already completed the first decade into our 21st century, and with all the current advances that we have in modern medicine, people are wondering, what does the future hold when it comes to medical care? And we are in a healthcare crisis in America today. Yes, there's a lot of worries about the rising and astronomical costs of medical care today. And the politicians are all debating the topic of healthcare reform. You're seeing it in the current presidential campaign going on. Unfortunately, in many cases, everyone is focusing on what I think the wrong things. They're not focusing on what the real crisis is all about. And the real crisis we need to look at is our declining health in America. We are way down the list when it comes to health in the world. Other countries are healthier than Americans. And despite all our modern advances in healthcare, we are way down the list when it comes to health. We are becoming the most obese country in the world. We lead in heart disease, diabetes, cancer, and other chronic degenerative diseases. And the real tragedy today is the declining health of our young children. Young children are today developing adult diseases. Obesity is on the rise among our young kids, and in fact, we see 7-year-old children that are developing adult-onset diabetes. It's a tragedy. Recently, there was a nurse that was talking to me, and she had a son, 13 years old, and the doctors told him that his arteries were clogged up. He was developing atherosclerosis, and there's no wonder why. It's because she fed her son food from the fast food burger joints every day for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and let him eat whatever he wanted to, and it was not healthy. And I was, not too long ago, actually the Surgeon General has stated, happened to be in the very room where he stated this at one of the American Dietetic Association conferences. He stated that if obesity rates continue as they are going on today with our young children, it is in this generation where parents will outlive their own children. And I'm already beginning to see this as the obesity rates are increasing and the health of young kids is deteriorating. Now, for many years, I had the opportunity of serving as the Director of Wellness and Lifestyle Medicine at Castle Medical Center in Hawaii. And Castle Medical Center is typical, even though it's in Hawaii, typical of other hospitals in America, in that 70% of the patients who are in our hospital beds today are there because of diet and lifestyle-related causes. Just think of that. If people were eating healthy, they took care of their bodies, they didn't smoke, they didn't do bad lifestyle habits, they got in regular exercise programs, chances are 70% of the patients in those hospital beds would not be in there, and 30% of the patients would be left. And of course, we need the hospitals to take care of us, but we need to do more to take care of ourselves to avoid getting into those hospitals. Now, a number of years ago, the Journal of the American Medical Association had a very profound statement. And it said, in the coming decades, the most important determinants of health and longevity will be the personal choices made by each individual. Yes, in most cases, each of us determines the course of our own health and longevity by the personal choices that we make in our lifestyle. In the majority of cases, disease, illness, and premature death is the direct result of our own personal lifestyle. All of us need to develop healthy lifestyle habits if we want to avoid disease and prolong life. And I believe as Christians, it is our duty to take the best care possible of our body that God has given us. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 6:19, we read, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God? And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." Yes, it's important that in order to glorify God, we take the best care of our own bodies so that we can enjoy good health. And if we go on later on in that book, 1 Corinthians 10:31, we read, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Yes, it's important to take good care of our body and to glorify God, but also to realize that whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So I really believe if when we sat down and people sit down to their meals, if they really thought this scripture through and really ate and drank to the glory of God, people would be eating healthier and probably be much healthier as a result of doing so. Now, first of all, I would like to talk about the power of fitness. Exercise is so important to our health and wellness. Running and walking are powerful exercises. And in Isaiah 40:31, we read, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." That scripture relates to many spiritual things as well, but it says, "They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint," if we wait upon the Lord. Running and walking are no question some of the best exercises that we can do, and walking probably is the best that almost anyone can do. Now, one of my close friends that I knew for many years, and he passed away a couple of years ago, was Jack LaLanne. And Jack LaLanne was a real fitness guru in America. Some people call him the godfather of fitness, known for his television show, The Jack LaLanne Show, where millions of Americans got fit by watching him regularly exercise on television and participated with him in his exercise routine on TV. But Jack LaLanne made a very interesting quote. He said that exercise is king, nutrition is queen. If you put them together, you have a kingdom. And that's so true. Combining exercise with nutrition can give you optimal health. So let's start off with getting good regular exercise. And in most studies, regular physical activity is the best predictor of longevity. Yes, in the longevity studies, and the experts are saying that exercise is probably, those people that exercise regularly is one of the greatest predictor of longevity. And on the average, for every 1 hour you exercise, increases your lifespan by 2 hours. Just think of that. For every hour you exercise, it increases your lifespan by 2 hours. And this is based on a Harvard alumni study. Well, active people, according to the medical research, it shows that active people are sick less often, they have more energy, they are more successful in weight management, they cope better with stress and pressures, and probably the reason for that is that in the brain, more endorphins are produced. These are natural compounds that we find in the brain that can actually give us euphoria or a better sense of well-being, so we feel better. We're able to cope with stress and pressures much better. Exercise is one of the best ways to do that. And also studies show that people who exercise regularly have less depression and a more positive self-image. Now, let's talk about some physical activity guidelines. Now, this is according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And the guideline is every U.S. adult should accumulate at least 30 minutes or more of moderate intensity physical activity on most, preferably all days of the week. If you do a moderate form of exercise for about 30 minutes, ideally you should burn about 200 calories or equivalent to a 2-mile brisk walk. Well, studies show that by walking, the more you walk, at least ideally maybe 5 hours per week of walking and maybe at a pretty vigorous pace, that would be ideal for reducing your relative risk of having a heart attack. And we also know that by speeding up your walking pace by maybe 3 or more miles per hour when you do walk, that will also reduce your relative risk of heart attack. One of my favorite Christian authors has written a statement in a book that she wrote called Counsels on Health. Her name is Ellen G. White. And in that book, Ellen White wrote, "All who can possibly do so ought to walk in the open air every day, summer and winter. A walk, even in winter, would be more beneficial to the health than all the medicine the doctors may prescribe." Yes, walking is powerful medicine. So use your feet, get out, walk regularly. And if you can run, you might want to run if you want to increase your pace. But walking is powerful medicine. That's an exercise that just about everyone can do. If walking or running is not necessarily the thing you like to do for exercise, you might want to try something that you enjoy. Swimming or cycling or doing an aerobic class or doing some pool exercises or some form of exercise that you enjoy is very important because this can help give you the health benefits you need from regular exercise. Now let's talk about the power of food. You are what you eat, and what you eat today is walking and talking tomorrow. Now, Hippocrates said way back around 400 BC, he made a very profound statement. Hippocrates, of course, is the father of medicine. Hippocrates said, "Let thy food be thy medicine, and thy medicine be thy food." And yes, before there was medicine, there was food. And the thing I want you to recognize in this program today is that there's one important statement about food, and that is food from plants prevent the diseases that are killing us. Yes, eating plant foods are so important to our health and longevity. I'm talking about eating an abundance of fresh fruits and vegetables, whole grains, and beans. Plant-based foods that can help you to achieve optimal health and nutrition. Foods from plants promote health, longevity, beauty, and vitality. Now, let's talk about our diets. Do you know that in our country, the diseases that we have here in regards to food and nutrition are really diseases of affluence? In other words, we eat a rich American diet that is loaded with fat and calories and sugar and unhealthy foods. And the rich American diet leads to many diseases, such as atherosclerosis or heart attacks, heart stroke, hypertension, diabetes, obesity, different forms of arthritis, osteoporosis, kidney failure. And then we have other problems like constipation and colitis and gallstones and varicose veins. And then all the different types of cancer are related to the rich American diet, such as colon, breast, prostate, kidney, uterus, pancreas, and testicle cancer. All these are related to our typical rich American diet, which I call SAD, S-A-D, Standard American Diet, S-A-D. And the Standard American Diet promotes lifestyle-related diseases and premature aging. Here again, we need to focus on plant foods because foods from plants prevent the diseases that are killing us. Now, let's take some of those plant foods. Let's look at nuts. Nut consumption has been shown to be beneficial in preventing heart disease. In fact, frequent consumption of nuts protects against the risk of heart attacks. The studies show that people who ate nuts frequently, five or more servings or five or more times per week, had a 51% reduction in heart attacks and a 48% reduction in death from heart attacks compared to those who seldom ate nuts. So here you see it. Eating nuts is important to your health and longevity. Now, what are some examples of some nuts? And at least five servings of nuts per week is ideal. Well, I recommend, first of all, when you do eat nuts, try to go for those raw nuts, maybe the ones that have not been toasted or roasted and had salt or oils added to them. Eat foods like almonds and walnuts and cashews and Brazil nuts and pecans and peanuts. And look at some of the seeds, such as sunflower seeds and flax seeds, pumpkin seeds and sesame seeds. And instead of using butter or margarine, I recommend having nut butters, such as almond butter or peanut butter or tahini, which is a butter made from seeds, the sesame seeds. These are much better for you than having the butter that people have that's loaded with saturated fat. Now, one of the statements I often say in my lectures is, the whiter the bread, the sooner you're dead. And studies show that eating whole grain bread is more beneficial to you and actually over white bread because you can reduce your relative risk of having a heart attack by eating whole grain bread over white bread. And use a wide variety of whole grains in your diet. Eating more fruits and vegetables has been shown to reduce the probability of dying at midlife for both men and women. Powerful compounds in fruits and vegetables that are important to our health and wellness. And what do we find in fruits and vegetables that are important? Well, potassium, it protects against high blood pressure. Folic acid, or folate, helps prevent high blood homocysteine levels that can cause heart disease and strokes. Fruits and vegetables are high in fiber. They're loaded with antioxidants that protect us against cancer and Alzheimer's disease, and rich in vitamin C. And we have to just include more of those fruits and vegetables in our diet every day. Now, what is the best type of diet? Everyone seems to be on a diet today, but the best type of diet is found back in the Garden of Eden diet. If you go back to the Bible and look at Genesis 1:29, we read the optimal diet for man. It's the original diet of man, and it's a vegetarian diet. In the Bible, in Genesis 1:29, we read, "Behold, God said, I have given you every herb yielding seed and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat." The vegetarian diet is the optimal diet for good health and longevity. And in writing on the vegetarian diet, my favorite author wrote in the book, The Ministry of Healing, Ellen G. White said that grains, fruits, nuts, and vegetables constitute the diet chosen for us by our Creator. These foods prepared in as simple and natural manner as possible are the most healthful and nourishing. Yes, plant foods from vegetarian sources are optimal for good health. And studies have shown that Seventh-day Adventist Christian men who follow a vegetarian diet live almost 10 years longer than the average American man. And vegetarian women, Seventh-day Adventist Christian women who follow a vegetarian diet, live about 6.1 years longer than the average woman. Now let's talk about the power of faith. And more research is showing that by having a faith and trust in God and going to church regularly can improve your health and longevity. In fact, over 200 scientific studies on religion and health have shown that people who go to church regularly that have a positive faith can actually reduce their blood pressure, increase survival rates, drink less alcohol, have less tobacco or drug use, have less stress, depression, anger, and anxiety, and greater happiness and well-being. In fact, people who have a faith have greater marital satisfaction and stability and fewer psychological problems and better self-esteem. But the key is to better health is to find the right kind of faith. The key is to have a positive, optimistic faith and relationship with God. Avoid any toxic religion that can lead to serious problems. What is a toxic religion is one that focuses on the negative, that tears down the human spirit, that focuses on a judgmental God and not a loving God. This is dangerous and not healthy. Having a positive, uplifting, and healthy relationship with the true God is critical. A positive Christian faith is healing to the body, mind, and spirit. In tapping into the power of faith, I recommend that you take your spiritual vitamins every day. You know, as a nutritionist, I believe in eating the best, healthiest food possible every day, but I also supplement my diet with good, healthy vitamins. And just as I take my vitamins every day, I also take my spiritual vitamins in every day. Now, spiritual vitamins include studying God's Word, the Bible, every day, spending time in His Word, learning more about God and getting to know Him better, spending time in communicating with God through prayer every day is also another spiritual vitamin. And also important is worshiping God regularly in church. You know, I work out regularly in a fitness center that I go to just about every day to keep my body fit. And I look at the church as a spiritual fitness center led by the pastor where you can have fellowship with other believers. Going to church regularly can also help you become more spiritually fit. So today I'm encouraging you to tap into the power of fitness, tap into the power of food, tap into the power of faith for your health and longevity. And in closing today's message, I would like to read from 3 John 2, which says, "Friend, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." That's all for this week. Until our next broadcast, this is Dr. John Westerdahl wishing you the best of health and longevity.
This has been Health and Longevity with Dr. John Westerdahl, a production of Life Talk Radio. Join us again next week on the same station and time for Health and Longevity. The preceding information on this program has been general information about your health and is not to be taken as professional medical advice, nor is it intended to serve as a substitute for medical attention. Do not change your diet or exercise habits without guidance from your medical doctor, especially if you have health problems or are on medication. Do not change your medications without the advice and supervision of your medical doctor. If you have a medical condition, we encourage you to seek the consultation of a medical doctor experienced in dietary change and lifestyle medicine. And as always, we wish you the best of health.